Romans chapter 14, and we're going to continue along the lines of our message last Sunday morning about judgment. What I had planned on being probably one message looks like it may turn into a series of messages, but that's the way it goes sometimes. And so I did want to continue this because it's a subject that's very difficult to cover in one session. So I want to talk to you this morning about judgment, but in a little different light than we talked about last week. In Romans chapter 14, verse 1, the Bible says, "Him that is weak in the flesh receive you, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him that eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day, regardeth it unto the Lord. And he that regardeth not the day, to the Lord he doth not regard it. He that eateth, eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not to the Lord, eateth not and giveth God thanks. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live therefore or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and living. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another any more." Now, last week we focused on this idea of not judging one another, not being judgmental. And I pointed out to you that what the Apostle Paul is talking about here is that many times there are debatable areas of conduct. The two areas he mentions here are the observance of days and eating. Those are the two illustrations he uses. And so what we talked about last Sunday morning was the fact that we have someone that is our righteous judge, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so in matters where there is no clear instruction from the Word of God, where there are things that, like I said, are debatable, we need to extend grace and liberty toward one another and judge not one another. In Matthew, go if you will back to Matthew chapter 7, because I guarantee you this is one of the most quoted verses in the Bible in relation to judging. Most everybody knows this, because the first time you mention somebody else's church or somebody else's religion or somebody's behavior, this verse will be quoted, and that is, "Judge not, lest you be judged." Jesus Christ, Matthew 7, verse 1, "Judge not, that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged, and with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, Let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou clearly see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye." Now, obviously, he's addressing here a group of religious, Pharisaical people who were being judgmental, and yet they themselves were not keeping the law and so forth as they claimed to be doing. But I wanted to read that because I want you to understand that based on the things we said last Sunday morning, it might be that people would get the idea that we condone everything, that you're not supposed to say anything about sin or that kind of thing. That was not the point. The idea of what we talked about last week centered on the fact that there are things that people do in their life, practices in people's lives, that we should not be judgmental about. We should not condemn if God didn't condemn it. I remember when I was a boy, I had the church I was growing up in. There were a lot of people that they could do certain things all through the week, but on Sunday they couldn't do them. And they were very judgmental of people that did do those things. And that's just one illustration. I mean, you can go on and on with that kind of thing. But I want you to turn with me this morning to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, because there's another side of this as far as judgment is concerned. There are some things that we are to judge. And the word judge simply means to evaluate, to put to a test, to try, to prove, examine, if you will. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, in 1 Corinthians 2:11. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. Now, that kind of looks different from what we read over in Romans chapter 14, doesn't it? Paul said we're not to judge one another. He said, why dost thou set at naught thy brother? Well, as I pointed out, Paul is talking about things that there is no specific instruction from God, and there are things that there might be debates about and so forth, but like the instance of eating, he said one eats it and gives thanks, another eats not and gives thanks. And those are the kind of things where he's saying we should not judge one another. But there are several things in the Bible, in Paul's epistles particularly, that we are told to judge. So it's not that we are never to judge anything. There is judgment. The spiritual man, the man that is spiritual, he that is spiritual judgeth all things. Now, hopefully, we judge those things on the basis of the Word of God. And, you know, that's one of the things that you need to be careful with in instructing children and so forth. As I mentioned a moment ago, when I was a child, you know, there was so much inconsistency in religion that it almost turns you off to it. I remember I had an uncle, and he was a holiness, and we'd go down to his house, and boy, I tell you what, it was forbidden to do anything on Sunday. But it was all right for his wife to stand and cook for 2 or 3 hours. I never could get that reconciled in my mind. I mean, woman standing there, no air conditioning, middle of July, sweating and frying chicken and cooking and everything. And when they got ready to eat, he said, "All right, men, come on, let's eat." And all the men ate. And the women, they waited. He might have been smarter than I thought. No, I'm just kidding. But I mean, that, you know, and the women, they labored. They cooked the meal, they served the meal, they got through, they washed the dishes, they was in the kitchen all day. And I remember even as a boy I thought about, why is it that kind of works all right, but none other is? You see, a lot of times people say, well, you can't do this and you can't do that. There's no scripture basis for that. Now, there's a lot of scriptural basis for other things, and those things are very clear. And the Bible says, he that is spiritual judgeth all things. So we are to judge. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. So we need to judge like the Lord would judge. We need to judge on the basis of God's Word. Now, I just want to mention three things this morning that we are told specifically to judge, to evaluate, to try, if you will. First of all, look in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, in verse 9. We are to judge between right and wrong. As I said, if you listened to the message last week, it might be fairly easy to get the idea that we just condone everything. And that we as individuals are to just condone everything. That's not the issue. The issue is, you can judge the behavior, you can judge things that are done, as long as you do it by the Word of God. Now, let me show you the illustration. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9, I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators. Yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with the idolaters, for then must you needs go out of the world. But now I have written unto you not to keep company. If any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, in other words, Paul is talking, he says, initially I told you, out there in the world, among the lost population, you ought not to be associated, you ought not to company with these people. In other words, the idea of companying with people that would be of a benefit to you. Then he says there in verse 11, but now I have written unto you not to keep company, if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such a one, know not to eat. For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not you judge them that are within? But them that are without, God judgeth. Therefore put away from among yourselves that wicked person. Now what Paul is referring to is back in verse 3. Look in verse 3. For I verily as absent in body, but present in spirit, have judged already, as though I were present, concerning him that hath so done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together in my spirit and the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. You see, if you go back up in verse 1, he says, it is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife, and you are puffed up, and have not rather mourned that he hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. You see, what had happened there in the church at Corinth is they had become very accepting of all the sinful practices that had generally been associated with the outside world, with unbelievers. Paul had instructed them about not keeping in company there on the outside with the fornicators and the extortioners and the idolaters and so forth. But these things were happening in the church. And Paul said, you ought to be able to judge among yourselves that you shouldn't allow this to go on, that you shouldn't company with those or condone these practices. Now, you see, there's one thing in condoning the practices, or as another thing to condemn the people. The people, Paul says here in this particular case, to deliver such a one to Satan to destruction of the flesh. The idea there, and we won't take time to run the references because that's not the subject we're on this morning, but the idea there is that this person would be put out and not be associated with until they were willing to correct that behavior that was so destructive there in the assembly, and that's exactly what happened according to the book of 2 Corinthians. And it's not that you would take them out and stone them to death, that kind of thing. It's that the withdrawing from them would cause them remorse and so forth. Paul said in Galatians chapter 6, if a brother be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. So it is not being judgmental when you look at behavior, when you look at right and wrong and say, that's wrong. That's wrong according to Scripture. People say, that might be wrong in your eyes. No, folks, there are some absolutes in the Bible. That's what I'm getting at. There are some absolutes in the Bible. There are some things that are absolutely right, and there are some things that are absolutely wrong. And we can determine that not by our religious experience or not by some denominational standard. I mean, you know, churches put all kind of standards on people. I've got one back there on my desk where people, they've listed all the things that you can be kicked out of the church for. Well, that's ridiculous. The point is, there are some things that, as a preacher, for example, I might get up here and preach against things that people don't like. because it might be something that's going on in their own life. I'm not condemning the person. I'm condemning the behavior. Or it's not me condemning it. The Word of God condemns it. So all I'm saying is that we need to understand, he that is spiritual judgeth all things. We judge things by the Word of God. Look over in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. You see, generally what people want to do is they want to condemn the behavior that they're not involved in. If they're involved, you know, it's interesting to me how many times people will condemn things that other people are doing and yet never address the things they might be doing. You know, we got our list of little sins and big sins. Well, notice what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4 in verse 17. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, notice, through the ignorance that's in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanliness with greediness, but you've not so learned Christ. In other words, Paul said, you folks to the church at Ephesus, he says, you're living like those Gentiles live back there, whose minds are darkened. They don't have their understanding enlightened. He that is spiritual judgeth all things. You're spiritual people, but you're living like a lost individual. Verse 20, he says, you have not so learned Christ, if so be that you have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus. Now notice, it's clear that there are some things that God desires for us to put off. He said that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. You see, right there in those verses, I can see what God thinks about lying, about being angry, about stealing, and about giving. All those things are addressed there. I don't have to use my own judgment. I know what God says about them. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that may minister grace unto the hearers. You see, there are people that they wouldn't dare commit certain carnal, fleshly sins, and yet they wouldn't think twice about using their mouth to degrade people and pull people down or that kind of thing. Paul says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. People say, well, he's talking about cussing, saying four-letter words. No, that's not all he's talking about. Corrupt communication is any kind of communication that doesn't edify and build up. It's that which tears down, that which is corrupt. The opposite of that is that which ministers grace unto the hearers. Verse 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed on the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You see, folks, the sins that he mentions there, the things that come forth as a result of walking after the flesh like that old man, are things that many times go on right inside the walls of a church where people supposedly are against sin. It's like the little boy went to Sunday school and came home, and his mother said, "Well, what did the preacher talk about up in the back hills there of Tennessee?" And said, "Well, the preacher preached on sin." She said, "Well, what did he say about it?" "Well, he said he is against it." Well, you see, people say, "Well, we're against sin. We believe in preaching against sin." Well, what about evil communication, corrupt communication, clamor, evil speaking? He says, "Be kind one to another, tender-hearted." The whole point is, folks, is that we are to judge between right and wrong on the basis of the Word of God. Not on the basis of what man says, man's moral code and that kind of thing. I mean, if you're going to use that. And you know why that is? It's because this never changes. Morality changes. Things become acceptable, weren't acceptable, so forth and so on. The Word of God doesn't change. And it's as relevant today as it was the day it was written down. And so we that are spiritual are to judge all things. We judge between right and wrong. And then secondly, I want you to notice we judge ourselves. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, self-judgment, self-evaluation. First Corinthians 11, verse 31. "For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another," and so forth. And he's talking about the things in relation to the observance of what people call the Lord's Supper, the New Testament, the New Covenant meal there that was taken. But the point is, the verse I just want to use there to make an application, verse 31, "For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged." What is this judgment? Look over in 2 Corinthians chapter 13. 2 Corinthians 13. Judgment. Look in 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. The first judgment that every individual needs to do in relation to self is this one right here. Paul says, "Examine yourselves. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates." Doug used this illustration in Gloria too over the years, and I'll use it also. But there was a time when a lady told me that I made the statement that Gloria was the most spiritual lady she had ever met. Gloria wasn't even saved. And you know what? When the woman made the statement, she wasn't saved. You see, it's all about seeing things through the flesh. It's seeing we look at somebody and we judge their spirituality based on what we see on the outside. And the reason, you see, we look at people and say, "Well, that person must be saved because they thus do it. So this person must be lost because they do this and that." No. The first thing you need to do is examine yourselves. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. How do you examine yourselves? Well, you look in the Scripture. How do you know whether you're saved or not? Say, "Well, I walked down the aisle. I joined the church. I had this warm feeling. I never will forget the feeling I had that night." Well, examine yourselves. Can you find anything about that in the Bible? You see, Ephesians 1:13 says, "In whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation." Then how can you determine if you're saved or not? Say, "Well, when I pray, my prayers get answered. And God wouldn't answer my prayers if I wasn't saved." Find that in the Bible? "No, but I heard a preacher say that one time. It must be in there somewhere." Examine yourselves. You see, folks, the simple truth is this. Jesus Christ died for your sins on a cross 2,000 years ago. God made Him to be sin for us. Christ became our sin. Paul said the gospel is the power of God and the salvation of everyone that believeth. So if you've heard the gospel, you've either believed it and trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, or you haven't. There's no in between. It's not, well, I'm growing into salvation. I am now being saved, and someday I know I will finally come to an understanding, and at that point I'll be saved. No, saved is a lot like, I almost hesitate to say, it's a lot like being pregnant. You either are or you aren't. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. You know, the testimony Doug just gave is, I mean, exactly that. Don't look at your works. Don't look at your feelings. Don't look at what you've done. Don't look at your prayer life. Examine yourself according to the Word of God. Was there a time that you heard the gospel proclaimed, the Word of God proclaimed, the gospel of the grace of God proclaimed, and you trusted Jesus Christ your Savior? If you did, then you're saved. And if you didn't, then you're not saved. And that examination should lead you to the conclusion that you need to be saved. And the thing is, you can't do anything to be saved, so just trust Jesus Christ and He'll save you. Just relax in what He did. You see, that's the difference in me before my salvation and afterwards. Before I got saved, I was always wondering, have I done everything I need to do to be saved? Well, the point is, there's not anything I can do or you can do either. And so you just rest in what Christ did. You rest totally and completely in the finished work of Jesus Christ who died on the cross for your sins. And that's the self-examination. Look over in Galatians chapter 6. In Galatians chapter 6. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual. Now, why would it be the need for being spiritual? Well, because he that is spiritual judgeth all things. He evaluates those things on the basis of the Word of God. Ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Now notice this. For if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. When is it that a man would think himself to be something when he's nothing? Anytime he thinks himself to be something. Because we are nothing. Paul said, I am what I am by what? The grace of God. For by the grace of God, I am what I am. Nothing to boast in, nothing to glory in this flesh, other than what Christ has done for us. If a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. Now think about that. Let every man prove his own work. Go back to Romans 14 where we started out this morning and notice the importance of this. Proving your own work. Judging your work. In other words, what is it you're involved in for Christ's sake? Evaluate that. Judge it. See if it's something that is of scriptural significance or is it just something you're doing. You see, the Bible says there in Romans chapter 14, verse 12, so then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. If we're going to give an account of ourselves to God, then we need to judge our works here so that they might be acceptable unto Him. And that's why He says, let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone. Study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman is not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Why do we rightly divide the word of truth? That we might be approved of God. Why do we study? That we might be approved of God. You see, it's not important that we be approved of other people. I mean, listen, folks, if our purpose and our goal was to be approved of other people, we had to quit a long time ago and gone somewhere else. People don't approve of preaching and teaching the Word of God rightly divided and proclaiming the gospel of the grace of God without works and so forth. The majority of the world does not approve of that. So what do? Do you just blend in with the rest of the world and blend in the religion and everything? No. You work according to your instructions. Romans 3, Philemon. You study to show yourself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, for we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. There needs to be a self-evaluation, self-judgment. Number one, examine yourself, see if you be in the faith. Number two, examine your work. Examine your behavior. Examine what you're doing. Is it for Christ's sake, or is it all just for the fulfillment of the lust of the flesh? Let every man prove his own work. Then he shall have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. You see, it's like we were talking about last week. So many times we get so wrapped up in trying to get other people to change and do what we want to do and be what we want to be, we forget about self. And I found a long time ago, I got enough to take care of right here without worrying about those others about me. Self-judgment. And then the last thing I want you to notice is we're to judge doctrine. We're to judge that which is taught. Evaluate it. Is it scriptural? Is it dispensational? Is it to us? Or is it outside of those parameters? Look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and get Romans chapter 16. First Thessalonians 5 and Romans 16. First Thessalonians 5:15. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. You see, again, over and over again, there is a contrast between that which is good and that which is bad. How do we know? By the Word of God. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit. Despise not prophesying. Prove all things. That word prove is to test or to try. It's like judgment. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. That which is not good, let it go. That which is good, hold fast to it. He said, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Go back to Romans chapter 16. In Romans chapter 16, in verse 17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them, for they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. Well, was Paul being judgmental? He said you need to evaluate some things. He said you need to evaluate the doctrine. He said, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned. I personally believe, and I'm sure there's others would disagree maybe, but I personally believe that primarily what Paul is talking about there is the doctrine of justification by faith through grace apart from the law. I mean, that's the first five books in the book of Romans. That's what the real issue was there at Rome, was is a man justified by the law or justified by grace? And so Paul says, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine. Look in 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. In verse 6, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith, notice, and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. Well then, if there's good doctrine, there must be bad doctrine. And there is bad doctrine. And you know what bad doctrine is? Sometimes, well, number one, bad doctrine would be the doctrine of men, the doctrine of religion, the doctrine that is not based on Scripture. And you can't simply say that just because it came out of the Bible, it's good doctrine. You see, there's a lot of doctrine in the Bible that when it's misapplied to the wrong dispensation, it becomes bad doctrine. For example, when Peter stood and preached in Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins, that was sound doctrine. You know why? Because Jesus Christ told him in Luke 24 that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in all the world. And Peter's doing exactly what the Lord told him to do. But when God saved the Apostle Paul and gave him the gospel of the grace of God and gave us the gospel of the grace of God and saved us by His grace, no longer do we preach repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. We preach Christ died for your sins. And so to take doctrine from another dispensation and try to apply it today causes it to be bad doctrine. And you know how you judge that? By the Word of God. By Paul's epistles. It's like I mentioned before, I've heard people get up, call themselves grace preachers and so forth, and they get up and rant and go on about this is wrong and that's wrong and so forth, and go back to the Old Testament, and Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and try to prove it's wrong according to those scriptures. Listen, either we're going to follow Paul or not. Paul said, the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, commit to faithful men that you might be able to teach others also. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. We judge doctrine. We judge it whether it's good or bad. And we judge it by the Word. You see, he says there in 2 Timothy 3 verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now, I want you to go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Keep in mind what we just read there. All Scripture. That's what the purpose of Scripture is. Correction, instruction, reproof. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2. Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? Remember, he that is spiritual judgeth all things. If then you have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church. I speak to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you? No, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren? In other words, judgment then takes wisdom. And there's a lot you can teach out of this passage right here, but for time's sake, I want to use the verse to point out to you. He says, is not there a wise man among you that should be able to judge between the brethren? Well, look over in Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians 1, verse 15, wherefore also after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you, what? The spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Look in Colossians chapter 1. In Colossians chapter 1. Colossians 1, verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Listen, folks, it's very clear. He that is spiritual judgeth all things. We judge between that which is right and wrong. We judge ourselves. We judge doctrine, whether it's good doctrine or bad doctrine. And we do it by the Word of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And He says it's profitable. And it's profitable that the man of God might be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. You see, we don't have to go out and take a survey to find out if something's right or wrong. We don't have to take a poll. We don't have to test the way the wind's blowing on this particular. It's either right or wrong by the Word of God. That's how we judge rightness and wrongness. That's how we judge truth and error. By the Word. You listen to a preacher on radio and he's saying some things and they might sound just wonderful. Just great. You know, it just sounds like this is really the answer. Well, then try it by the Word of God. And try it by the Word of God rightly divided to see if it be good doctrine or bad doctrine. He that is spiritual judgeth all things. Don't just be tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. Are we to judge one another in the things that are debatable, insignificant? Absolutely not. Are there some things we are to judge as saved, Spirit-filled, Bible-led individuals? Yes, there are. And we're told what those things are. And we're judged those things on the basis of God's Word, not based on our opinion, not based on the doctrines of men, not based on Scriptures that are misplaced from a different dispensation, but based on the Word of God, rightly divided. And we're to do that for Christ's sake, that we might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. Would you stand with me for prayer?